Thank you, Mr. Dan. So this morning we're going to jump into the text pretty quickly. And as you've already heard, we're going to be talking about the story of Samson. And it's an old story for a new time, which is today. And I think Samson can teach us a lot about our own Christian walk and our own faith. But before we get into it, I want to ask, who has heard the story of Samson before the children's message? Raise your hand. Okay, good bit of you. So I tricked you, because now you have to have a conversation with somebody next to you. You're going to have a conversation. I want you to ask the person next to you, what do you know about Samson? What happened in this story? Who are the people that are involved? What occurs within Samson? Because sometimes we only think about one section of it, and Samson has four chapters in the book of the Bible. So I want you to talk with each other for about a minute and a half. What do you know about Samson? And it's S-A-M-S-O-N, not, there's no P in it. All right? Go. Where is? All right, you got 10 seconds. I know it's a long story, but unless you only know one little bit of piece of it, then it might, who knows? Or if you don't know, that's okay. 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, come back. You're going to get to hear the whole story, I promise, because we're going to go through a lot of it today. But oftentimes when we hear about Samson, we think about Samson as being a hero, and we only think about Samson as Samson and Delilah. That Delilah tricks him, and he cuts his hair off because he gets his power from his hair, like we already talked about. And he cuts his hair off, and then he's tricked by her, and he's given to the Philistines. And what happens? He tears down the statue and the temple that they're at, and he kills everybody. But sometimes when we think about Samson, and oftentimes when we think about heroes in the Bible, that we have these heroes that are black and white, that these are the good heroes, and they never break their integrity, they never question their morals. If you think about Moses, you think Moses is the pristine, perfect hero. And we have these in our own stories as well. If you think back to John Wayne, or you think to the Power Rangers, or you think to these like Superman or Batman, besides the most recent Batman, you think these heroes, they're always, that's a Dark Knight, it's different. But you think about these heroes, they are always good, right? They are always good. They never question their values or integrity, and they're always given this good, pristine light. And what happens? The climax is when you have an evil person that comes to them, like Lex Luthor for Superman, and challenges him, and you're kind of worried for a second because you think Superman might die. But what happens? Superman always overcomes it, right? And then the resolution is Superman is the hero and the victor. That's what our old idea of hero was. Until recently, I found that there's been a recent discovery of the gray area of heroes. And if you think about current TV series, some of my favorite are Game of Thrones or The Walking Dead, HBO and Netflix, what happens? The heroes are no longer black and white, but there is a gray area, and you're not entirely sure if they're meant to be good or if they're meant to be bad. So think about who watches The Walking Dead. Anybody? Okay, not as many people as I thought. Dang it. Okay, so Rick Grimes is supposedly the hero of the story. But there are moments where you question his character, you question his values, and there's really moments where you don't want to root for him, and you want this hero to be killed. Because you don't really know if he's a good person or a bad person. And sometimes in our stories now, we're not entirely sure if the hero is good or if the hero is bad. And sometimes the hero is good and bad at the same time, and you're not entirely sure where to put this character. And for us, Samson is one of those characters. Samson has his own issues, and he's almost the gray character of the hero, unlike Moses. So where we start off is in Judges 13. So if you want to open up your Bibles, you can. It's four chapters long, so I'm not going to read the entire chapters to you because that would be really boring. But the birth of Samson is powerful, and it's a whole chapter on the birth of him. And if you think about birth stories, you think about maybe Abraham and Isaac. Remember Abraham and his wife should not have had a child named Sarah? And she's like, well, I'm too old to have a child. And then God gives him a child and names him Isaac, which means laughter. Or if you think about Rachel was not allowed to have a child, but then she has a child named Joseph of the Technicolor Dreamcoat. And remember, all these birth stories are so powerful, and we have another birth story here, the birth of Samson. His mom and his dad were barren. They did not have any children. And then God's angel came to them and said, you will have a son, and he shall be a Nazarite. And they named him Samson. Now, a Nazarite has certain vows that this person has to follow. And if you want to go to Numbers chapter 6, you can read all through it. But these are the three things you have to follow, and his mother had to follow, in order for him to be a Nazarite, an anointed one of God. The first thing, nothing of grapes. He cannot eat grapes, he cannot touch grapes, he could not make wine, he could not drink wine, his mother could not drink wine, nothing to do with grapes. Grapes were considered unclean as a Nazarite. The second thing, he could not go near a corpse, whether it was animal or whether it was a human, he could not go near a corpse. And then the third thing is one that we all know, he could not shave his head. So he cannot be bald, he cannot shave his head, he had to keep letting it grow. And he made this commitment at birth, his mother made the commitment for him, and he followed along suit. Now, we don't know much about his childhood. There's nothing in Scripture that talks about his childhood, about his teenage years, about what it would have been like to like lift up a couch and his mom would have been like, what are you doing? We don't know anything about his childhood. But his first words are these. I saw a Philistine woman at Timnah. Now get her for me as a wife. That's what he tells his mother and father. That's really interesting words. Really interesting word. He sees this woman who's a Philistine. Now, he is an Israelite, and he is not supposed to mess with the Philistine people. That's against the rules. They've been at battle for 20 years already. He's not supposed to talk with the Philistines, but he sees this woman, and he tells his parents, get me for her as a wife. Now, his parents are very faithful people, and they're the ones that kind of do the thinking for him. He kind of forgets that he has a prefrontal cortex almost. And his parents say, well, why don't you go and meet the girl that is Jewish? Why don't you meet the girl that has the same values as you? Meet that girl that has the same integrity that you might want to live with. But Samson doesn't listen. He says, no, I want that one that I saw. So he goes and he gets this woman and she becomes his wife. And she becomes his wife and this family travels with them and they have this wedding banquet. Here's him and his first wife. But he has this wedding banquet. And at the banquet, he produces a riddle for the Philistines that are around the table. And he asks this riddle. Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. Now, I skipped a little portion of the text because that's where this kind of comes from. Samson, while he's traveling to see this woman, he rips a lion with his bare hands and he travels back home. And as he's traveling back again to see this woman, there becomes to be honeybees. And he has the sweetness out of the honeybees that was in the lion's corpse. It's a really, really strange text. But only he knows the answer to this riddle. And he said, if you answer this riddle in 7 days, I will give you 30 linens. And if you do not, you must give me 30 linens. So the Philistines are around, and they talk about it for a day, 2 days, 3 days. They have no idea what the answer to this riddle is. Only Samson can know. But they ask his wife, hey, why don't you go ahead and ask Samson, what is the answer to that riddle? And she kept asking him, and he said, well, I haven't told my mom or my dad. Why would I tell you? But she keeps asking and keeps asking, and eventually he tells her the answer to the riddle. And she then shares it with the Philistines. And the Philistines answer, here's the answer. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? So his wife tricks him, and he is furious. He's like, why do I have to give these 30 linens to the Philistines? They should never have gotten this. So he storms out. He goes to the nearby town and kills 30 people with his bare hands, takes their linens, and gives it to the Philistines and say, there, take that. And he goes back to his father's house. He's furious for his wife. He's furious at the Philistines. He shouldn't have had to do this. Well, his dad is still there at the wedding festival and gives his wife to his best friend. See, this is almost like a Netflix show in itself. This is craziness. So he is furious, and he goes back to his house and says, where's my wife? And his dad said, well, I've already given her away. So that's the first warning sign for Samson. His first wife has already betrayed him. So there's a few more sections that we're going to have to skip over, but they're really interesting stories. In Judges 15 and 16, First, it's probably one I didn't even know until I actually read it. He and the Philistines have battles. They are always talking about the Philistines want to do this and capture him, and then he responds by doing this, and the Philistines does something else, and they're always talking and battling each other. So one of these stories, he lights foxtails on fire, and he sends the foxtails into the granary of the Philistines, which then burn up the granary. So Samson and the Philistines really don't like each other. So then the Philistines decide they're going to capture him, and they're going to put rope around his hands, and he goes up there, and he breaks the rope, obviously, because he's really strong, and he takes a jawbone of a donkey and kills 300 people with a jawbone of a donkey. This guy's crazy, and this story is crazy, because I really think about, is Samson really a good person? Is he a good hero, or is there something different? So then we keep going, and we go to the very familiar part of the text. All this has already occurred, so we know that he's arguing with the Philistines, and then we have Samson and Delilah. So Delilah, he marries her, and the first thing that he says is that I love Delilah. So they get married, and the Philistines convince Delilah and pay her money to say, listen, if you figure out how to stop him, if you figure out how to make him more mortal and weak like us, we'll give you this silver. So she agrees, and she asks Samson, Samson, how do I make you weak? What do I do? What do I have to do? And Samson says this, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that are not dried out, then I shall become weak like anyone else. So the Philistines gives her 7 fresh bowstrings, and he falls asleep one night, and she wraps him with those bowstrings. And he says, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And she has the Philistines in the next room. And he wakes up, and he breaks the bowstrings like it's nobody's business. It's too easy for him. And the Philistines leave. Now, if I'm Samson, and I told my wife this just a few days before, and my wife ties me up, and then calls the Philistines right next to me, what am I going to do? I'm going to be furious. I'm going to leave her. That would be the responsible thing to do, as he is. But he loves Delilah, and he stays with her. And the next day, she asked him, well, how do I really make you, you know, you've mocked me. How do I really make you weak? So he says this, bind me with new ropes that no one has used, and I shall be weak like anyone else. So the next night, he falls asleep. She gets the new rope from the Philistines, ties him up, and then says, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And then he breaks free of the rope like it's nobody's business, and it's really, really easy, and the Philistines leave. Now, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's twice already. Samson should be running for the hills. Go back home or something. Get rid of this lady, because she's not good for you. But Samson, again, he's missing his prefrontal cortex or something. I don't know what happened. So he has a third thing, and she asks him, well, Samson, you've mocked me, and you've lied to me. How do I make you weak? And he says this, well, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with a web and make it tight with a pin, then I shall be weak like anyone else. So what happens? He falls asleep. She braids his hair. She puts a pin in his hair, and she says, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he wakes up, and he takes the pin out of his hair, and he's still really strong, and the Philistines leave. Now, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 3 times, I don't even have a saying for that. You're just crazy. That should not happen. That should not. He should leave, and he's been betrayed 3 times by this person, and then first by his first wife. So he's not the smartest tool here. He's not. So I'm wondering, why does he stay? But he stays his fourth day. He stays a fourth day, and Delilah comes up to him, and she says something a little different. She says, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? She's playing on his emotions, the love that she has for him, or that he has for her. So then he tells her, okay, well, a razor has never come to my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, then I would be weak like anyone else. My strength would leave me, and I would become weak and be like anyone else. So this is the part of the story most of us know. He falls asleep in her lap, and she has a barber in the next room. And the barber comes in and cuts his hair. And then she says, Samson, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And the Spirit of God has left him because he doesn't have his hair. And the Philistines capture him. And the Philistines gouge his eyes out. It's kind of a gory, gory story. And take him as a slave, as a prisoner. And they actually make him work on the grain, on the grain just like an animal would. He goes it around, it smushes the grain into meal. So this once powerful man, this once hero that had the strength and was a Nazarite and was anointed by God, made some bad decisions. I don't think it was Delilah's fault. He should have been smarter. And he's the one that's like, okay, he's the one that made the mistake. So he loses all of his power. He has no eyes and he's disfigured. And now he's a prisoner with chains around his feet. And the Philistines use him as they use him as entertainment. They use him as an animal. They use him as the worst of the worst. Well, we know what happens next. Samson, for a few weeks, a few months, he's a prisoner, and he's invited to dance for the Philistines as entertainment, and they mock him. But one moment, all the Philistines gathered together, all the high priests, all the ladies, all the kings of the court, all these big-wig people of the Philistine Empire, they gather together, and they call Samson out and say, Samson, we want you to dance for us. So imagine he's dancing with these chains on his feet, and his hair is beginning to grow back. And he convinces one of the guards, I'm tired. Can you just put me next to this pillar? So he begins to lean next to this pillar. And he has another pillar over here. And he's putting his arms out. And he prays. And the first part of his prayer is really interesting. He says, remember me, O God. Remember me. Remember means to put back together. To remember. He was once one. And then he was broken. Put me back together. And use me one last time and give me strength. And what does he do? He pushes the pillars down and the whole building collapses and kills all the Philistines and kills Samson. His brothers and his family come and take his body and bury them next to his parents. That's the story of Samson. And as I hear that story, I wonder, he's not such a good guy at times. He's not the brightest. He's made his own mistakes. He had an issue with women. Yet God still used him. Despite all of that. And for us, when we think about Samson, I think we might hear that whatever we're going through, whatever mistakes we have made, whatever's going on in our life with our families, no matter what happens at school, no matter what happens on July 4th, that God can use us. Now, it doesn't give us the right to act wrongly. I'm not saying that. But I think no matter what happens, no matter what you've done, God still wants to use you. God still wants to use you. So for me, when my parents got divorced, I ran away from God. I wanted nothing to do with God, and I disobeyed God in every possible way I could. Yet when I was in high school, God called me on a beach retreat, and God called me into leadership, and God called me to be a youth pastor, and God called me to be a chaplain, and God could use me despite all the things I had done. Despite the running away from God, God wanted to use me. Wherever you are at, whatever stage of life, whatever is going on in your life, God wants to use you. And even if you turn your back upon God, God still wants to reach down into the depths of that and say, here you are. I want to use you. So as you hear Samson, maybe you would hear God's voice saying, I want to use you and I want to give you strength. Let us pray. God of wonder, God of strength, you never turn your back upon us. Even when we constantly run away, like Adam, like the people of Noah's time, like the time of the Israelites when the judges were coming down, we pray that you would speak to us and guide us closer and closer to you and let us know. Let us know that you want to use us despite our failures, despite our errors, despite whatever we have done, that you want to use us for your purposes here within the world. Speak to us once more. Amen.